Could you turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. I'd like to read a little bit of a longer passage than I normally do, but 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 9 and finish at verse 22. So 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when also had where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, and they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, "Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up, and cast him upon some mountain, or into some valley." And he said, "Ye shall not send." And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send." They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, "Did I not say unto you, go not?" And the men of the city said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein." And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from this, there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And we thank the Lord for the reading of his word. I'd ask the Lord to bless our time in his word. Father, we do thank you for these wonderful stories of past histories, Lord, of Elijah and Elisha. And Father, as we've come today for a blessing from your word, I pray that, Lord, you might encourage us, whatever our need might be. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look at history, especially the history through the eyes of the scriptures, there have been 3 epochs in human history when God's Spirit worked in a continuous, miraculous way. I mean, we know that God performs miracles or has performed miracles right throughout history, and he still performs miracles today. But in these three periods, certain individuals were given extraordinary powers. Each of these epochs lasted about 70 years. The first was around the time of Moses and the Exodus, and incredible miracles occurred under the hand of Moses. The last was during the time of Jesus and the apostles, and that's all recorded in the Gospels. The middle epoch, was also about 70 years, and it was through the ministry of Elijah and Elisha, and there were these amazing miracles that were being performed through these two men. It was during this middle period the events we have just read about occurred. We read here of the change of the baton, or more correctly, the change of the mantle between the two great prophets. Elisha literally took Elijah's mantle, and that's become a common expression, hasn't it? in our vernacular. The changing of the mantle, taking somebody else's mantle. Well, here, Elisha literally takes Elijah's mantle. Now, the prophets of Jericho had difficulty acknowledging the change. There are a group of prophets from the school of the prophets there in Jericho, and when they saw that Elijah was gone and Elisha had come back, they had difficulty acknowledging the change. And so they searched the country for 3 days looking for Elijah's body. But he was gone on a fiery chariot to heaven, and Elisha had become the new master. Now, the citizens of Jericho had witnessed these events. I don't know if they saw the fiery chariot, but they certainly saw Elisha part the waters of the Jordan. So, as Elisha tarried, he waited in Jericho while the prophets sent out looking for Elijah's body, and on their fruitless search. While they were doing that, Elisha remained in Jericho. And I think it was while Elisha was there and the men were out looking for Elijah's body that the citizens of Jericho realized the opportunity that afforded them. They had a problem with the city's water supply. So they took their problem to the new prophet. Obviously, Elisha had the same miraculous powers of Elijah, so they took their problem to him. And that's really the part of the story that I want to focus on today. And I want to focus on just 2 points. Seeing we're in the holiday period, there's no 3 points, okay? Just 2 points. The situation and the solution. So let's firstly look at the situation. This is the Bible's word. Verse 19. And the men of the city, that's the city of Jericho, said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught and the ground barren." Now, we learn 2 things here about the city of Jericho. Firstly, it was pleasant for situation. Now, that well-known expert, Dr. Wikipedia, he's amazing what he knows. He said this: archaeologists have unearthed the remains of more than 20 successive settlements in Jericho, the first of which dates back to about 9,000 years. So Jericho has been there for a very long time. Many years after Elisha's time, in the New Testament era, Jericho would be called the city of palm trees. And in this earlier version of the city, the testimony of its citizens was that that Jericho was pleasant for situation. It was situated in a pleasant place. It was a good place to have a city. And apart from that, probably a part of that probably had to do with the many springs that were in the area. You can't have the palm trees, you can't have a thriving city if you don't have a water supply. Perhaps it was because of the springs in the area that it was pleasant for situation. Dr. Wikipedia also says, copious springs in and around the city attracted human habitation for thousands of years. And so it was a city well known for its springs. And funnily enough, this is where the problem lay for the citizens of the city. And this is the second thing we learn about the city at this time. It was pleasant for situation, but secondly, the water was polluted. It says here, "But the water is naught." Now, the Hebrew word translated naught here simply means bad. It was bad. The water was bad, and because of that, the ground was barren. It said there that the water is naught and the ground is barren. Now, for ground to produce fruit and crops, it needs a good water supply. And hence their approach to Elisha. The water was bad, and therefore there was no place for them to water their crops or to have crops for their city. And so this was the situation of the city. It was pleasant for situation, but its water supply was polluted. Now, before we move on to the solution Elisha gave, I can see in Jericho's situation a good example of the human condition. God made a wonderful place for Adam and Eve to live. It was also called pleasant for situation. And in the creation count, at the end of each day's creative work, we read that God saw that it was good. God did this part of his creative work. And at the end of this that day, he said, it was good, it was good, it was good. The word good in the creation account is the same word as pleasant here. And yet, despite the goodness of the situation given to Adam and Eve spoiled it. Evil came into that pleasant place through man's sin. And because of that, man became a sinner and his life was spiritually barren. So that by the time Noah was born, generations later, we read in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Hebrew word for evil in Genesis 6:5 is the same word as naught in 2 Kings 2:19. The Hebrew word for barren, here we have in this our text here, is also translated spoiled in our Bibles. Sin spoiled the paradise of God, and it has spoiled the human heart. And all the children of Adam have been born in sin and are evil by their nature. Jeremiah the prophet put it this way, you know the verse, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Brethren, that's not just some concept. This is your heart and this is my heart because of Adam's sin. This is a condition not just of our hearts. But when you think about it, this is the condition of the cities that we live in. This was poor old Jericho. It had a polluted water supply, even though it's pleasant for situation. And you know, our cities, the city of Coffs Harbour especially, is pleasant for situation. I think it's true also for Lismore. It's not a bad place to live. They are pleasant for situation, and nobody can deny that. And like Jericho, they also have a problem. But it's not with their water supply. The problem is that people, for the most part, are naught and barren. They are evil in their hearts and spoiled by sin. Their God is their belly. And for the most part, they are hedonists and have no interest in their Creator. So because of that, drunkenness abounds and all the inherent evils that brings. And nudity and immodesty are accepted and morality is despised. That is, we have beautiful cities in which to dwell, but the hearts of people are so wicked that they are evil and barren. And God's word makes it very clear what God thinks about this situation, the state of men's hearts. We find his view in the book of Isaiah, verse from chapter 5, verse 20. He said, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, and their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." That's what God thinks about the heart of man and all the evil that comes out of it. And we live in an age when what God's word says is good, they say that's bad. What God's word says is light, they say is darkness. What God's word said is sweet, they say that it's bitter. And they are given in our societies, to our pleasant cities, they are given to the drink. The citizens of our pleasant cities are under the judgment of God. And there is only one solution to their situation. It's pictured in the solution needed for Jericho's problem. And so having seen the situation of the city, secondly, the solution that Elisha gave. The men of Jericho, unlike those in our city, they knew they had a problem. And they knew where to go for help. Have a look again in verse 19. "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of a city is pleasant, and as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren." So what's the solution? He said, "Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein." And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the springs of water and cast the salt in there and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha which he spake. So the men of the city went to Elisha, said, "Oh, this is a great city, but the water is polluted." And so Elisha had his solution. He told the men to go and fetch him a new cruse. Now, a cruse was like a jar. Fetch me a new cruse, a new jar. And he told them to put salt in it. And so they did that. They got the new cruse and they put salt in it. Then he personally went to the polluted water and he cast the salt in from the cruse into the water. Then he declared by faith that the Lord had healed the waters. And so the waters were healed, at least up until the time of the author who wrote 2 Kings. We don't know who wrote 2 Kings, but up until that time the water in Jericho was still not polluted. There was no doubt, though, who or what healed the waters. It wasn't Elisha. It wasn't the salt. Elisha made sure all would know the Lord did the healing. Verse 21, "And he went forth under the spring of waters, cast the salt in there and said, 'Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, I have healed these waters.' Upon seeing the salt cast into the polluted waters, the Lord decided there, because of, I suppose, of Elisha's faith and because of who he was, the Lord healed the waters. He did the healing." Now, the word in these verses that caught my attention is the word new. Verse 20, "And he said, 'Bring me a new cruse.'" A new cruse. As Pastor Peter has reminded you, next week is our first Sunday of a new year. And I think if we look at the new year as like a new cruise, and this is what I would like to present to you, that the next year is like the new cruise that Elisha used. Now, the cruise played a small yet necessary role in the solution of Jericho's situation. It had a part to play. It was small, but it provides us with a simple message for today. I thought this new cruise could be a picture of our new year. 2020 is a brand new opportunity to apply the salt of the gospel to the polluted pools of our cities. 2020 is a new opportunity for us to apply the salt of the gospel to our polluted pools of Coffs Harbour and Lismore. Now, salt in the Old Testament was a symbol of purification. Leviticus 2:13 tells us, "With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." Thus, salt illustrates the purifying effects of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, like the salt in the story, the gospel can't heal the human heart. The gospel doesn't heal the human heart. But if, like Elisha, we cast in the gospel, those who believe that gospel, those who had faith in that gospel message, God will heal. He'll heal those people of their sin. He'll cleanse those people from their sin. He'll save them if they believe that gospel message. God will save those who believe that simple message. And that's because that message is about Jesus dying on the cross in our place to bear the punishment for our sins. Jesus Christ is the only one who has died for sin. He's the only one who has risen from the dead to give us that hope of forgiveness and a hope of heaven. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." We are healed. And this is why Jesus came. Luke 14:18, Jesus told us, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And when Jesus does heal a soul, like the waters of Jericho, he heals it forever. Once he saves to the uttermost. And friends, he is the only one who can heal the hearts of the citizens of our pleasant cities. But like Elisha, we need to personally cast in the salt. For us, this means to preach the gospel to sinners in our fair cities. Paul tells us we have this treasure We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have in the gospel the salt that can heal the waters. We have the message that will save a soul from hell. Think of that. In that simple gospel message, some can be saved from an eternity in the fires of hell. We have the balm that can reconcile a lost soul to God. We have the remedy that can heal the malady of the human heart. That's what God's word says. He will heal our hearts if we believe the gospel. And this new year is a new opportunity to preach the gospel. 2020 is the new opportunity to reach the lost in our lives, in our individual lives, at work, at home, at school, but also in our ministries through our local churches. But I want you to know where Elisha cast the salt. I thought that was very interesting. Verse 21 says, "And he went forth to the springs of the water." And that's where he cast the salt. This is where the water, you see, the springs were where the water began their journey. And this can also picture for us our children's ministries. Now, there are some churches, I believe, that don't have children's ministries because they don't think they're important. They're foolish, and it's not according to God's word. It's great when older people get saved. That's a blessing. We should cast the salt into the pools at the end of the stream. We should still do that. But sadly, all too often, these people's lives are already full of the consequences of a life of sin. They've gone through life without hearing the gospel. At the end of their life, they might get saved, but they're still suffering that broken marriage or the effects of that alcohol or whatever it is. It's good to cast in the salt in at the end of the pool, at the end of the stream. But how much better to salt the water in the spring of their lives, to heal the human heart in its prime, before the deadly effects of sin take hold, before sin had its way and left its mark, before alcohol has ruined a life, before marriages have been broken, before sin has left its scars, before a person marries an unsaved person and raises children who will go into the eternal flames. Praise God, my parents salted my life with the gospel in my childhood years. Praise God, he saved me in the spring of my life, and not when my life was barren and empty. When we're saved young, God's word and God's spirit can guide us, and the blessings are eternal. Let's never think of children as a lesser field of soul winning. On the contrary, they are in the spring of their lives, which will determine where they will eventually end up. Friends, we've been given this new cruise, a new year. We've been given this new cruise to cast the salt of the gospel into the lives of those of our pleasant cities. The old cruise of 2019 is nearly gone. But we can take this new cruise, we can take this new year and fill it with gospel salt. And each of us can personally share it with those in our families or our workplaces or our schools. We can see that as our responsibility to cast that salt in that will give eternal life to those we know and meet. But we can also share the good news in our church ministries, those we minister to in our local church. This is the very reason we have the ministries out for our church, to reach naught and barren souls with the salt of the gospel. But we need as many helpers as we can to cast in the salt. It's sad that some churches, the ministries are just so poorly attended by people who come to church, will give to a church, but they won't cast any salt in the gospel ministries. It's sad. So few are serving the Lord in their local churches. I trust that is not true for this church. I trust that's not true for you. The very reason we have a church, the very reason we have the ministries of our church, is to reach naught and barren souls with the salt of the gospel. So let me ask you to ask the Lord of the harvest, what would he have you to do with this new cruise, with this new year, so that you and this church together can cast the salt of the gospel into those barren lives? You know, we can think of next year, think of this new cruise, and we can fill it with all sorts of carnal things. We can fill it with all sorts of selfish things. We can fill it with even good things that are not really the best. Be careful not to fill this new cruise with selfish things. or even the good things, to fill them with the best things. Francis Havergal wrote this lovely poem. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise. Another year of proving thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness, the glory of thy face. Another year of leaning upon thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be. On earth or else in heaven, another year for thee. Not just with thee, but for thee. Friends, our cities are pleasant for situation, but sin has polluted the hearts of their people. We have been given the solution to their problem, the salt of the gospel. And we've been given a new cruise this new year to cast in the salt. What will you do with this new cruise? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity you've given us to hear about the Lord Jesus. We thank you that somebody shared the gospel message with us. And because of that, we can have that hope of heaven. We can every day go to you for cleansing and forgiveness of our sins. We can raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can save them from years of trouble and Lord, lives of sin. Oh, Father, we thank you that somebody shared that gospel salt with us. But I pray that we won't sort of hold it for ourselves, but we would see that you are the Lord of the harvest, that you are calling people into the harvest, even in our cities. Help us to use this new opportunity of the new year, Lord, to serve you, to cast the salt into the hard and barren hearts of those around us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.